This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Swing and a miss! He got him! The Red Sox sweep the Yankees! 2-0 the final today, and the Red Sox have taken 5 of 6 from the Yankees. They're within 6.5 in the American League East. They're back above 500. And what a masterful weekend here at Fenway Park.
Look at me expecting the beat to drop here on WEEI Afternoons. Well, let's just hope after those highlights from earlier in the year that Will Fleming was describing the 5-1 record the Red Sox have against the Yankees. Let's hope the other shoe doesn't drop here for the Red Sox coming off this crappy stretch against the Marlins and the surging O's. I'm going to kind of continue to try to fluff up Baltimore a little bit here for what they're
surging?
Doing. Yeah, surging. Yeah.
About, I would maybe call them plucky, spry.
Okay, plucky, young. What do they call those? Like
mother pluckers.
Spoilers, maybe? Maybe they're trying to be some spoilers late in the year
upstart,
against some of these.
Upstart. They were really good last year. Got it handed to them quickly in the playoffs. Totally fell apart this year. Sold off all the parts. I think I heard on the broadcast the other night, Will Fleming recounting that 8 of the 9 players were like farm system, like native to the Baltimore Orioles. Like they were going full reboot. And look at them hanging in there, knocking off the Sox.
Knocking the Sox off. So now the Red Sox head to New York to take on the Yankees, who, in case you missed it last night, they scored 13 runs. Okay, that's impressive, Andy, 13 runs. How'd they do it? Well, they did it by hitting 9 home runs. 9 times they hit the ball out of the ballpark. Stanton looks like he's turned the clock back a half a decade, at least. Suddenly
It's like taking half a season off helped him, and all of a sudden now he's rejuvenated.
Unbelievable. So Red Sox have a task ahead of them in New York. But let's mix in some phone calls here, 617-779-7937. And where the hell is the remote for the call screener? Oh, Mego. Stiz, could you put... I was going to say pull up Tony, but when you have multiple Tonys, I'm going to need to clarify. Let's bring up Tony in Narragansett. What's up, Tony?
Oh. Gentlemen, good afternoon.
What's up?
Hello?
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 Caller,
who
you're
call,
on.
Who are you calling, gentlemen?
Good afternoon. I have a question. I got a couple of questions real quick.
Okay.
First of all, why is... There's a need, obviously, at second base. We could free Sedan to go back to the outfield. Why is Vaughn Grissom stuck in baseball purgatory down in Worcester? Kid was a highly touted prospect coming out of the Braves system. By all accounts, he's had a solid year in Worcester. If nothing else, you bring the kid up and showcase him. I mean, obviously, your number one priority is to win games, but... If nothing else, you showcase this kid if you want to package him in a deal for pitching in the off season. I know he was outspoken. I know he had some issues with management, and probably the competitive nature of the kid is something that probably is not a negative, although maybe it's been construed as such. But can you explain to me why this kid hasn't gotten a shot? And then as a follow up,
okay,
go ahead.
No. Yeah, we'll answer that. What's your second?
Yeah, my second question was, any chance that they bring up this kid, is it Peyton Tolda, the lefty, any chance they bring him up for some an audition out of the bullpen come stretch time?
Thanks for the call, Tony. So let's answer the last question first. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Everybody's talking about it. We met Lou Maloney over at Fenway yesterday in the lunchroom. He's talking about it. He calls him the little piglet or whatever he is. They are absolutely going to lean on him. The question is just when. He made the jump from AA to AAA, and he'll be making the jump to Fenway Park in the very near future. Yes, Dan Ball.
Didn't Breslow kind of address that with you guys? What did he say?
I asked him, yeah.
And what did he say, Fitzy?
Something.
Okay, so you weren't listening. Great.
No, I listen.
Yes.
If there's anybody,
he's coming
it's hard
up is
to
basically
like
what he said.
It's hard to like glean the divine or like the silver thread from the corporate word salad that Breslow offers you on a regular
basis. But I can guarantee you will see Peyton Tolley in Fenway Park pitching
better
out of the bullpen, and everybody that's told me what they've seen from him, they're wowed by him. He's massive. He has a bright future. He's a guy they didn't really want to include in any trade talks, but if you believe them, they included everybody, so that means he was on the table for Joe Ryan. The Vaughn Grissom one is a little different to me. I don't really get why he has not been an option. I'll be honest. So he was sold to me. Alex Cora, a year ago, whenever it was like, when we traded Sale, it wasn't just about trading Sale away. It was about acquiring a player we wanted, an asset we wanted. Then he was hurt, terrible year, that whole thing. Then they give the job to Christian Campbell to start the year, but we know that blows up. And you look at Vaughn Grissom's numbers in Worcester. He has 100 hits, second on the team. 24 doubles, second on the team. 13 home runs, second on the team. He's batting 270, 783 OPS, 342 on base percentage. Dan Ball, you're my minor league correspondent.
Okay, I thank you.
I forgot to tell you before the show, but I just let you know live on the air.
Okay.
Why is Vaughn Grissom not an option to play second base for the Boston Red Sox?
I feel like it's something more in the mindset, work ethic kind of thing, because he said this around the trade deadline, quote, "I don't really expect much more opportunity here just because decisions that were made, and it kind of didn't involve me. I mean, all those decisions, they make sense in a way, but I guess it sucks a little bit." So he's been pretty outspoken about the fact that he hasn't been called up to this point, so I wonder if there's a bit of a deterioration going on in terms of the relationship.
Oh, there's a good idea. Let's not call up a guy who has talent and ability and fills a need because he stated the truth. Because I'm with him. We all know for a fact, this is a fact. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I state this as a fact. Christian Campbell did not legitimately win the second base job in spring training.
I think there was
he did not. No, I feel like you're right, Andy. Like the same way Will Campbell is on his way to earning the starting left tackle spot for the New England Patriots.
Also because there really aren't a lot of other good options.
Well, he's earning it after they gave it to him. They gave it to him first, and then he'll earn it.
Yeah, they gifted it to him, basically. Same thing with Christian Campbell, and look what happened. Amazing April. Whoa, how about that May? And then in June, see ya.
But the April I don't really care about, and I certainly don't care. I mean, if you remember at the time, Marcelo Meyer was a little ticked off. He told Jones and Keefe at opening day in Worcester at Polar Park that he thought he should be in the big leagues, and there was a little tone there. And I think the other guys saw it. They saw a guy given a job that he hadn't really earned in spring training. And Vaughn Grissom in particular, I'm a second baseman. They brought me here to be the second baseman for the Boston Red Sox. Injuries derailed that, and now I'm not getting a shot to get back up there. So if that's the only reason he hasn't been called up, that's a bad look for the Boston Red Sox.
That's weak sauce right now.
It's very weak sauce, especially since he's doing the job on the field in Worcester. Now, the one caveat there, Dan Ball, we've had this discussion. There are these little rumblings that Worcester is an offense-friendly place that fluffs up numbers, and they might tell me that their analytics and swing paths and different things, whatever, that he's not as good as it looks, because they've also crapped all over AAA pitching. Those are the two things we've learned. It's easy to hit in Worcester, and the pitching that they face isn't very good. We've learned that over the course of this season through comments throughout the organization. But why does he not deserve a shot? Like, you need him right now. And if it's just those comments you mentioned, that is a bad look. But the good news is you will see Peyton Tolley on the mound at Fenway Park later this year. The bad news is I feel like you're putting an awful lot on the kid's shoulders when he arrives. Like, he's going to be some horse, hoss of the week, as they say, with Jones and Keefe, that you're going to lean on for huge innings. And I'm not sure that's fair to him.
Yeah, it may not be, but at the same time, you know what this team needs? This team needs the 2008 David Price call-up that Tampa got, which came around to bite the Sox in the ass in Game 7 of that highly contested, very competitive and memorable ALCS. He's going to be a starter one day for the Sox, and hopefully he's the two behind the Beast, and therefore you'd have Beast and the Piglet, and what a tandem that would be. Right now, you need somebody to come out of this bullpen and throw A, strikes, and B, throw flames, throw gas, who's not named Chapman because, you know, God forbid the Red Sox actually get a lead. Who the hell's going to protect it besides usually Whitlock and Chapman? If those guys are pitched out, you're screwed, kid.
617-779-7937, reacting to an ugly Red Sox loss and a dominant Yankees performance. Let's go back to the phone lines. Tony and Revere. What's up, Tony?
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Hey, I'm trying to really rationalize and come up with an explanation as to why Yoshida was in left field last night, who looks like a guy who's got zero confidence in playing defense, and Toro at first base when you had Lowe, who's supposed to be a better first baseman than Toro. So the only explanation I can come up with, the only one, is that Alex Cora must have hit an Encore Casino last night and put a big bet on the Orioles.
Thanks for the call, Tony.
Come on.
I don't think that's it, but it definitely stood out to me when, and I think they, I forget whether it was on the radio broadcast I was listening to or TV, they were talking about Lowe at DH and why he's not at first and flexibility with what Cora might be able to do. Because it jumps out at you, certainly, when you say, ah, they got a first baseman, Lowe, that's what is, and he's not at first base. You obviously have the injury situation with our guy, Willy Abreu, dealing with the calf strain from tagging up the other day. Rafaela needing time off, I guess, mental health
mental
day.
Mental rest day, yeah, great.
Seems like it's like Kyle Tucker. I was reading about that. He's getting mental health days in Chicago.
Going down the drain.
Yeah, not a great time for it. A $750 million contract on the horizon, and you're starting to stink.
Yeah, might help the Red Sox. So much. I hope it gets better soon. But
so much so that the home crowd is booing you off the field when you're not running out ground balls.
Andy, you've got this guy who comes in last night off of the scrap heap of a team that's going nowhere anytime soon, and he delivers. Like, how do you not win a game when this Nathaniel Lowe guy comes in, first pitch, wham, like, that's supposed to be it hits a two-run ding-dong. Like, this is supposed to be a magical night.
The
how
legend
did they not
of Lowe.
Convert on that?
Yeah, I did kind of feel bad for him, because that did feel like that was supposed to be one of those beginnings of this little short legendary. Mm-hmm.
Hey, remember that year where they signed Nathaniel Lowe off the scrap heap and he hit those big home runs and it helped them
do like
this?
It's like the ghost of Steve Pierce came into him and sorry.
Instead, they kicked it away. He hit a bomb, got everybody excited, and then he kicked it away. 617-779-7937. How you feeling about your Red Sox? How you feeling about those Yankees? And how you feeling about this series this weekend? Four games, which I'm maybe overstating it, could decide the season. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Walks being, the key for you right now.
Yeah, it's embarrassing, man. I think the last time I walked this many in a season, I threw 207 innings. So, it just sucks.
That was one of the better bleeps you'll hear. Just so you know, he said it's effing embarrassing, the walks, Walker Buehler, the aptly named Walker Buehler.
Thanks for filling in that blank.
Well, sometimes you guys use
sitting
bleeps
on that one all morning.
That I swear I can hear the whole word. And then there's sometimes where it actually bleeps the whole word out, and you're like, well, did he say? What did he say?
That's so your brain filling in the blanks.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify there. Walker Buehler, who pitched 4-plus last night, gave up 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 4 walks, and is clearly frustrated, which I think would describe him for the better part of the last 2-plus months since Dan Ball said he should be DFA'd and never pitch in major leagues again.
Yeah, can we revisit that? You guys still not on my side on that?
No. Who else are you going to pitch? Where are all these options coming off what trees?
Anybody at this point. I'd stretch out Steven Matz over watching that again.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
now
really?
Now we're stretching out guys that we're not even sure we want and what leverage situations. Oh, boy, he's an opener. Oh, good. 617-779-7937. Let's go back to the phone lines. Let's go to John in New Jersey. What's up, John?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Not much. What's up with you, kid?
Well, I mean, another Red Sox loss. Feels like it's become tradition at weekdays.
Yeah, unless it's Friday, right? Friday nights are good for wins.
Yeah, Friday. Yeah, they really like winning Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
Walk-off wins, too. Now, that game was so winnable last night. It really hurt. I wasn't watching it a lot, but I was definitely keeping up with it, and I was definitely keeping up with the 3 times they loaded the bases, and guess how many runs they scored? I'll let you guys answer that.
All right. The answer, John, is 0.
Good talk.
Thanks for
Good
the
talk.
Call.
Hey, thanks.
Appreciate you chiming
Good talk,
in
Coach.
And watching some of the game last night. I watched all of the game, and I regretted it. That's what they're starting to make me do, too. They regret the time invested. And I know it's kind of part of my job, but if you're a fan and you're watching that game last night and you see a baseball team, it's almost like a mother who sat there for 2-plus hours and then just watches the Little League team just like kick it away in the last inning, throw the ball all over the field, Little League home runs and errors. You're like, wait a minute. I didn't even put vodka in the Yeti tonight. I spent 2-plus hours here, and that's how you reward me for my time? That's how I feel a Red Sox fan should be. And yes, Red Sox fans, you might want to start putting some Tito's in your Yeti if you're going to watch the Red Sox.
Tito's in the Yeti. That's the recipe for handling the final 5 weeks of this season. Look, I think what's so frustrating about this damn game last night, Andy, is not that like somebody made a cataclysmic error or Baltimore walked it off with a two-run bomb or something. Like, Baltimore three times walked over, you know, with white glove on, towel draped over the arm, silver platter, and said, "Sir, would you care for your victory this evening?" And the Red Sox were like, "Nah, I'm all right, thanks."
That's a good point, Fitzy. You, if you flip the script on this, if you do the Awaken 180 on this, look at it from a Baltimore perspective. How lucky do you think you feel if you load the bases not once, not twice, but thrice, as you like to say, Fitzy, thrice times? How lucky do you, like, you legit feel lucky. You're not supposed to win baseball games when you do things like that. You're walking guys left and right. And then all of a sudden you just bring in some journeyman jag and it's like, 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3. 9 pitches. That's what I do. Strike people out. And then the other thing, he was screaming and yelling. That's the other thing. Like, we all like it when we see Chapman stare somebody down, or our new guy Dustin May when he has one of his redheaded reactions on the mound. But we had this guy last night.
Ginger fire.
He did some, I don't even know what he was doing. What was the cross to the sky as he was celebrating after he struck out the side with the bases loaded?
I don't know.
I haven't seen that before. Yeah. In your ballpark.
In our house. On the second night of the greatest Jimmy Fund telethon of all time. Spit in the bit.
Yeah. The frustration, gross. The disappointment, whatever the word is, you have to feel it as a Red Sox fan. 617-779-7937. Good news is they're flying to New York. Good news is they're facing a somewhat warm Yankees team that hit 9 home runs last night and is ready to whoop you with the season on the line. Let's go to Lou in New Hampshire. What's up, Lou? Are you angry?
Oh, you got that right. I'll tell you, I only describe this as the Cora clown show because he is no baseball manager. And just because you can sit there with a uniform on your ass and spit seeds doesn't make you a manager. He's running a clown show. They can take that green monster head thing because all these prima donnas think that they're Ted Williams and they're swinging for the fence and they couldn't hit themselves in the butt with both hands. They can't even lay down a bunt. And the first one that should be fired is that idiot that's coaching at third base that held the guy up in the 11th inning.
Yeah.
What in the world was he thinking? And that's only 10 minutes before they fire Cora.
Thanks for the call, Lou.
Lou was putting a little bit of our angst to word right there in the nation.
Ladies and gentlemen, your 2025 Boston Red Sox.
Step right up and get your licks at the Alex Cora Clown Show.
Wow. He was even mad about the Wally head. That bothered him.
Yeah, that was too far.
Yeah. Like, what's wrong?
What in the world?
Although his implication was people are swinging for the Wally head at the cost of good at-bats and driving in runs and doing the things that we think they should be doing.
We've got to have it one way or the other. It's either like too many line drives or too many dingers. Like, just, you know, pick a lane as far as the offensive approach.
Not too many line drives. I'm all for line drives. I'm a line drives kind of guy. I think this team is built for line drives. I think this team is built for gap doubles, line drives off the wall, and then doing the little meow at second base. I think this is two bases at a time baseball. That's the Red Sox. I think this team is built for that. I know I'm the great, you know, Cora defender, and there was a texter. Don't let Andy start talking about Cora because he stinks. He's this, he's that. Yeah, I'm a sock sniffer because we talk to Cora all the time. Well, if it was indeed a predetermined impact arm in center field, is that Cora? Is that D'Lo's boy, Jason Veritek? Is he too involved? We hear he is involved with all the pregame preparation, right?
Like including using a fungo to like hits fly balls and predetermine the Red Sox fantasy draft order yesterday.
Yes, I did see that. But he's also impacting real baseball games on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And is that on Cora? Like, is everything Cora's fault? We don't praise him when they win.
I always give myself an A, bro.
Well, you should. I give you an A, too. Just a lot of people don't seem to agree with us most of the time, Alex. Let's go back to the phone lines. Let's get one more call in here. 617-779-7937. I don't think this is going to go well for the aforementioned Cora. What's up, Chuck?
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Yes.
What's up, Chuck?
Hey, two quick things. I think the way Cora's managing, and it's kind of a throwaway comment, but it's like he's managing daddy balls. I mean, think about it. He puts Yoshida out in left field, because he hasn't played left field in a while. Let's give him a chance out there. His mom's kind of hot. Let's throw Yoshida out there. It makes absolutely no sense. It's what we see, you know, in youth, you know, with daddy ball. And it just baffles us, you know, to see some of those moves. The second point I have, take a look.
All right, thanks for the call, Chuck. His phone broke up before I could ask him Dan Ball's question. What else is he supposed to do?
Yeah, what else is he supposed to do? What else is he supposed to do in that situation?
Yeah, I don't.
If you want to give Rafaela a day off and Abreu's hurt, who else is supposed to play the outfield?
But why do I want to give Rafaela a day off is part of the question.
He's been playing poorly.
Is he that broken? You know who else is?
His OPS is below 500 since the All-Star break.
So playing poorly is a reason not to play somebody?
Yes.
Okay, so why is Yoshida out there?
Because compared to what Rafael is doing, Yoshida is not playing as poorly as Rafael is playing.
Not quite, but the upside on Rafaela, we can all agree, is much better than the upside on Yoshida.
Yeah, sure, but he's also a career 210 hitter in September. So, I mean, he's going down the slide that he does every year of his career. Well, okay, so if you're not playing
the career?
But if you're not playing Yoshida and left, who else is going to play the outfield?
I would have Rafaela out there. Right, I would go, like, Yoshida to me is borderline with you, like Walker Buehler. I don't want to see him anymore. I don't need to see him. We just talked about Vaughn Grissom as a guy that's an available bat in Worcester if you want to bring somebody. Yoshida has become my don't want to see him guy. Like, I think
awful,
Walker Buehler,
to say the least.
Oh, he's your all set check please guy?
Yes. And do I hold some of it against him because he makes good money? Yes, that's probably part of my, and that he's like, theoretically, a DH, that bothers me too. DHs are supposed to hit like 40 home runs, not ground out to second base every time and run down with this perfect form so everybody laughs at you. No, he annoys me. 617-779-7937. It's 3 o'clock. It's coming up on 3 o'clock. That means Ted Johnson will be in the house, and it's time for our three-point stances, and we'll find out today, for the first time, will Ted Johnson be held to a true 60 seconds? Tune in to find out.